All right. Well, hello there. How's everybody doing? It's not like I can really hear you, but I hope you're doing okay. I was encouraged by what I was listening to about what this missions organization is doing, and it sounds very impressive. And so, before we begin to go in tonight, I want to pray for what the Lord is doing through that missions organization. And then I want us to pray and begin to move forward tonight and looking at what the Lord would have us to think about as relates to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. So let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for what I've heard my brother and my sister saying in relationship to the work that they're trying to accomplish. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would allow the doors to open in such a way that hearts would be moved to give beyond their own imaginations and thoughts. And that, Lord God, you would give them so much that they would have everything they need to bring the greatest glory to you, to be the biggest benefit to those in need as they're pursuing the one thing that many have forgotten about, and that is the issue of justice. And Lord, we know that when it comes to you and justice, you desire us to make things right and to walk in what's right. And you've shown us by your word what's right. You've given us the power to walk in what's right. And I pray that you will continue to give them the wisdom, the insight, the resources, and the ability to accomplish all that you would have them to do to your glory and the good of those individuals who are in need of the gifts and talents and services that they're providing. Now, Lord, we ask that you would bless our night and guide us that we could begin to understand from you how we are to live our lives. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory. Please forgive us of every thought, every word, every action that has not matched you. And we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Earlier this year, my wife had taken ill. And it was a scary thing because it was on the heels of me getting shingles. And it was such an interesting thing because I had did shaving of my head. And as I was doing the shaving, these unusual bumps started to show up, which was really shingles. And as my wife was taking care of me, we did not know that she had never had chicken pox. So all of a sudden, as she's taking care of me, she's like, "You know, I'm starting to feel a little itch." And before we knew it, my wife had gotten chicken pox, and we had to rush her to the emergency room, and they put her in the bed at the main hospital in our medical center. But what was interesting was they would not allow me because of COVID to go into the room or to be at the hospital. So I had to speak with her every day by Zoom or by FaceTime on the phone. But what I thought was fascinating is they put her in a room that was guarded and it kept people out. In other words, it was a special room. It was kind of like a disease control room. So no one could really come in. No one could get out per se. It was keeping her insulated so that it could get rid of all of the stuff that was happening, as well as keep anything from coming in. And I thought this was pretty interesting because when we start talking about what it means to guard the heart, I believe that we have to begin to understand it from what happened with my wife. As they were keeping things from coming out and coming in, they were giving the disease a chance to be knocked out as they were giving her the proper medicine that was clearing and cleansing and helping her, but they made sure that no other impurities could get in. And when we look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, God gives us a direction in what to do in this area. As we look at this passage together, if you look in your Bible in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." The King James Version used to say, "Guard your heart, from it flow the issues of life." I want us to begin to talk tonight about what it means to guard the heart, because I think when we hear that, we understand it in one level, but I want us to get practical and get really into it, because the most important thing about you and I is our heart. So what does it mean to guard the heart? Well, first of all, before we can look at what it means to guard the heart, we need to understand what we mean when we say the word heart. We're not talking about the physical pumping heart, although that does need to be protected. But what we're talking about is the immaterial aspect of man. This is consisting of the mind, the will, the affections. And so when you and I are thinking about the heart, what we're really talking about is that part of us that guides us to think, that gives us the ability to do, that has our desires and our emotions. God wants us to guard that aspect of our lives. So when we talk about guarding, what we're saying is we need to protect it. We need to preserve it. We need to watch over it. Now, one of the parts of the verse says, guard your heart with all diligence. So with all diligence means to guard it as a guard would watch over a prisoner. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of those movies where a guard is standing over the prisoner, or any of those movies where they're really on them. They've got the shotguns out and they can't get in, they can't get out. And it's an interesting perspective, because what God is telling you and I is that we need to be as serious about our hearts, our mind, our will, our affection, as a guard is over a prisoner. And with that in mind, when it talks about from it flow the springs of life, what this passage is telling you and I is that our mind, our will, our affections, known as the heart, is the control center. Everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do, all of your experiences, the way you interpret those things, come from your heart. One of the things I try to encourage people to think about is that when we're talking about the heart, the mind, the will, the affections, we need to understand that we always encounter people, we always encounter circumstances, and these are things that are beyond our control. We can't control people, we can't control circumstances, we can't control what a person may think, say, or do, we can't control the outcome of situations. The only thing that we can control is our heart. And so I want you to think about it from this standpoint. Imagine, and I wish I could see your hands, but I'm just gonna ask this question, and I wanna see what you think about this. Do we have any tea drinkers in the room? Raise your hand if you are a tea drinker in the room. Now, if you are a tea drinker, then you know that you have to put the tea bag in the water, right? And when you put the tea bag in the water, what happens is that the water brings out the flavor that's in the tea bag. So no matter what kind of water you have, no matter what flavor of the tea, when you put that tea bag in the water brings out what's in the tea bag. Well, here's something I want you to think about. People and circumstances are water, and your heart is the tea bag. People and circumstances don't make you do things. People and circumstances expose you. They bring out what's already in you. And what they're bringing out, it's what is in your heart, what is in your mind, your will, your affections. So for you and I, God wants us to really take time to think through the reality of what it means to guard our heart. So if we were to pull this together in big picture, to guard the heart means to watch over one's mind, to watch over one's will and affections as a prison guard would watch over a prisoner, understanding that the heart is the control center of our thoughts, our words, our actions, our experiences. So now that we understand what it means to guard the heart, how do we guard the heart? Well, I am so glad that you asked that question. I have been waiting all day to share that with you. I want you to think about this. You guard the heart by protecting it from the onslaught of evil from without. You and I, we live in an evil world, and we have all these things around us. I always talk about movies, media, all the things that we can get around. And I'm not saying don't go to the movies and don't listen to music and don't watch TV. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is we need to make sure that we protect ourselves from the evil that comes from those areas. You know, I tell people the internet isn't evil, but there are evil people on the internet. So therefore, they'll produce things that are evil that we need to be careful of. There are so many things that if we're not careful, our hearts can get so caught up in, and before you know it, we haven't protected it from evil. We have allowed it to engage in evil. And so one of the ways that we guard our heart is that the things on the outside that are evil, we've got to do the hard work of making sure that we keep it from those things. But secondly, we need to purify our heart from the evil that is in. How do we do that? As we are finding things that God is exposing in our character, in our conduct, in our conversations, in our commitments, in our commodities, in our communion with others, as God is exposing things that are not right, we need to not make excuses about those things. We need to make confessions of those things. And as we keep confessing and we keep repenting, God keeps forgiving and God keeps cleansing. And we need to get in the habit of daily bringing ourselves before the Lord, of daily evaluating and saying, Lord, please expose whatever evil is in me, whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm wanting, whatever's going on, Lord, I'm asking you to please expose me, that I can be bare before you and that my mind, my will, my affections can be cleansed. And so for you and I to guard the heart, not only must we keep evil from within, we've got to purify the evil in our hearts and bring it out. But thirdly, if we're going to guard our hearts, we've got to begin to provide it with things from without that cultivate holiness. All the Bible studies and all the songs that we may listen to and all the different books that we read, we need to make sure that these things are leading us to a pure heart, that are leading us to think in terms of that which is right and lovely in the sight of God, that the things that we are allowing ourselves to engage in is leading us to where, as a result, we're not feeling filthy, but we are sensing the presence of God and the holiness of God as it is clearing us and guiding us to be set apart to know him, set apart to become like him, set apart to be useful to him. We must be about the business of cleansing and providing the things from within or without that can help us to grow in holiness within. But fourthly, if we're gonna guard our hearts, we guard our hearts by promoting within the heart all that cultivates holiness. On the inside, we need to be thinking the thoughts that are God-honoring. We need to be wanting the things that are God-honoring. On the inside, we need to make sure that we keep our wills in check to say, if this doesn't please God, then I want no parts of this. So in order for you and I to be solid, we've got to guard our hearts. One of the most profound things to me that I've always wanted to go see was the Great Wall of China. And there is history about how the wall was built and how it was impossible for people to break through that wall. It was so wide, they couldn't get around it, so low, they couldn't get under it, so high, they couldn't get over it. But yet, for very strange reasons, people were still able to get through. And it was very simple how they were able to get through. They just bribed the guards. Now, what am I saying to you and I? We have the Spirit of God that indwells us. We have the power of God to say yes. And we have the power of God to say no to things. We can walk by the Spirit, but yet we still find ourselves in filth. Why? Because our hearts are being bribed by the flesh. It's an inside job. Our hearts are being seduced by the things of the world. It's an outside job. And if we're not careful to pay attention to how our hearts are seduced on the inside, to put that captive and to resist what's on the outside, we will find that with all the power that we have, we're still walking in a manner unworthy of the Lord. So the third thing that we need to see about this is that we guard the heart by protecting it and purifying it of that which is evil and providing and promoting it with that which is holy. Here's the third thing I want you to think about as we're looking at guarding the heart. So what should one purify and protect the heart against? What should one purify and protect the heart against. Let me suggest to you a few things. Number one, one should purify and protect the heart against being double-minded. As I counsel and shepherd people, one of the challenges I have as I sit down with people is that sometimes they know and understand the truth. And sometimes they know what they need to do, but they are consumed with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, or they're consumed with what they want in this world versus accepting what God's will is for their life. And one of the things I will share with a Christian is simply this: when I see them being double-minded, I'll say this to them. I'll say, now, if I understand correctly, as you share with me, you believe in Ephesians that the moment you put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And they go, yeah. And if I understand correctly, you understand that in Ephesians, further down, it talks about Paul praying for us that we would begin to know the power that's within us. And you see that, right? And they go, yeah, that's right. So then also, if I understand correctly, you recognize in Philippians where it says we are to obey God because it is God who is at work in us. And so because he is at work in us, we can work out our salvation. We're not working for it, but we can work it out because he's working within. Is that correct? And they go, yeah. So then the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within you. So that means the same power that he has, you have to operate in a manner worthy. The Spirit of God was operating in him. So therefore, as a result, you find yourself in a position where you can do what God wants you to do. Is that correct? That's correct. So then you're a Christian. Is that correct? Yeah, that's correct. So then there's only three reasons why you're not obeying God. It's either lack of knowledge, I didn't know. Lack of skill, I didn't know how. Or lack of will, I will not. Now, my question to you, and being double-minded, which one is it? I need you to think about that for a moment. As a Christian who has the power by God to guard our hearts, there's only three reasons when a Christian is not obeying God, that he's not obeying God. I didn't know. I didn't know how, or I will not. A person who is double-minded, they understand, they know, but they're not doing what they know, and that makes them unstable. So you and I, when it comes down to guarding the heart, we've got to purify and protect our hearts against being double-minded. Here's the next thing I want you to see. One should purify and protect the heart against it being evil and unbelieving. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about beware lest you have an evil and unbelieving heart. The idea is that sometimes as a believer, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves so caught up in this life that we don't prepare for the next life. And when that happens, we are inviting the discipline of God to come to have a little fellowship with us, because the Bible says those who are born of God cannot continue in a life of sin because the seed is within us. That seed is the word of God. That seed is the Spirit of God. And so for you and I who are truly God's, he will discipline us. He will either do that or bring us home early, but we cannot stay in a mindset as Christians with the evil and unbelieving heart. And so you and I must understand that because God loves us so much, he'll do whatever it takes to make sure we don't stay that way. But he gives us the opportunity to start first. So you and I, we need to recognize that we need to purify and protect the heart against being evil and unbelieving. The third thing I want you to think about in purifying and protecting the heart, one should purify and protect the heart against being hardened. And the more you walk in sin, the harder your heart can become. And the harder it becomes, the greater the discipline that's necessary to break you so that you can get back in step with God. So you and I have to work very diligently at purifying and protecting our heart. Here's the fourth thing I want you to see. One should purify and protect the heart against being proud. A proud person begins to think that they have what they have and they're doing what they're doing because of their own abilities. They don't recognize that all that we have, all that we receive comes from God. And even the abilities to do things, we are instruments in the Redeemer's hands. And so we have to be careful that we protect ourselves and purify ourselves against believing that we are our own strength, that we are our own ability and self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. We must be very careful and purify and protect our hearts against these things. So the key point is this: one must purify and protect the heart against all that leads one into a life of sin. I want you to think with me for a moment as we are exploring these particular avenues, and I want you to look at yourself. And I want you to begin to ask yourself a few questions. Am I truly guarding my heart? Am I aware of the thoughts that are going on in my heart? Am I dealing with the desires that are happening in my soul? Am I dealing with my will? I mean, I can stop myself. I can start doing the things I need to do. Am I taking a conscious effort, or am I putting myself in just relaxed mode and just going with the flow of my heart? Ladies and gentlemen, God has delivered us from the penalty of sin. God has delivered us from the power of sin, and one day soon the presence of sin, not so that we can stay in a life that is not our best, but so that we could live a life that will bring the greatest glory to Him and the biggest benefit to others and the greatest satisfaction of our souls. And that can only be done by a life where one is purifying and protecting the heart against all that can lead one into a life of sin. The fourth thing I want us to think about is this: what should one be promoting within the heart? What should one be promoting within the heart? Number one, consider this: we should promote a broken and contrite heart. Well, what does that mean? That means that you and I need to come to a place where we are always going before the Lord, seeking to humble ourselves in His presence, seeking to humble ourselves and recognizing where we are, seeking to be in a position where we are so broken so that God can change us. Let me share with you, if I would, for a moment, there are three phases to change. And I want you to write these down, because having a broken heart is part of these phases. There are three phases to change. First, there must be an awareness. You must come to see the reality of who God is and the reality of where you are in light of who God is. That's called awareness. And so that means that as God gives us truth, there must be a reality that says, I see God. I see me. I see where I stand in light of who He is and what He has said, and what I see is not right. With that awareness should come a brokenness. And the brokenness says, now that I see Him and I see where I stand, woe is me, as Isaiah said, for I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, I recognize that His holiness and where I am in light of what He's shown, I have fallen short and I'm in need of Him to guide me. And then the third step is change. By the power of God working in your life, you begin to put off and to put on. But I need you to understand something. There will be no genuine change if there's no true brokenness. There will be no true brokenness if there's no true awareness. And so for us to have a broken and contrite heart, we must come to the place where our minds are being saturated with the reality of God as we embrace His word, as we embrace His will, as we embrace the reality of His presence through truth. Let that truth begin to reign in our souls. And as it reigns in our souls, it will expose us to who God is, show us where we are, bring us to a place of brokenness, so then that we can walk in the power He's given us to change. And so if anything, we have to promote within ourselves a broken and contrite heart. But secondly, one should promote a pure heart. We want to be able to be free in this life, not free to live as we want, but free from the bondage of sin to walk in a manner worthy of God. And the way we do that is to focus in on and keep diving into purifying our minds, purifying our will, purifying our desires, purifying our emotions, so that we live in this world seeking to walk in a manner worthy, knowing that we won't be perfect, but He is perfecting us, knowing that we won't be sinless, but we should be sinning less and less because we're walking more and more with Him, seeking to be set apart to demonstrate to the world the moral character of Jesus Christ and to function in the world, accomplishing the kingdom agenda of Jesus Christ, the great commission, which is to go and make disciples, as we're operating in the great commandments of loving God and loving others. Those are the realities of promoting and walking in a pure heart. But thirdly, we should promote a sincere heart. This is a person with integrity. This is a person that is saying what they mean and mean what they're saying. This is a person who is willing to recognize that honesty and integrity is way more important than anything else. But then fourthly, one should promote a wise heart. We need to not only understand intellectually the will of God, but we need to understand practically how to apply that which we understand intellectually. And our hearts need to be, again, saturated with the how-tos of life. We need to be going before the Lord and learning His word and being guided to understand how to put that to practice, where those things are just flowing through us constantly throughout. My wife and I had the privilege of going to Jordan. And as we were in Jordan, we got a chance to visit the mall that was there. And there were several malls, but this one mall had about, I think, five different stories to it. And we were just enjoying ourselves walking around the mall before we were beginning our missions trip there. And we saw things like, and it was crazy, Popeye's chicken. And I'm laughing, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Burger King. I'm saying to myself, wow, you can't get away from these things. And so we're walking around. And I told my wife, I said, well, listen, I want to go to a Nike store. I want to pick up some Nike shoes while we're here. And so to find the Nike store, we had to go to the map in the store. And the map said something that we all could say together. I can't hear you, but I hope you could say this with me or say the last words. We saw where we are on the map, and the map said, you are what? Here. Now, what's fascinating is the map was telling us where we were in order to show us where to go. Now, what if my wife and I would have said, we don't agree with this? We don't think that this is the direction. We're just going to figure it out on our own. We would find ourselves in a bad situation because the map was given by the creator of the mall to guide us where we need to go. Ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be a shame to argue with God about your heart? Wouldn't it be a shame to disagree with what the Master is exposing to us in the Word? If we are going to have a heart that's guarded so that we can function in a manner worthy, we must embrace what God shows us, and we must be willing to be guided by it so that our hearts will be wise, so that our hearts will be sincere, so that our hearts will be pure, so that we would have broken and contrite hearts. So what's the key point here? We must promote within the heart all that leads into a God-honoring life. Here's the last thing I want to talk about tonight as we talk about guarding the heart. So what should one provide the heart? Well, let me close by sharing this. One should provide the heart with the precepts of God. Thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let that sink in. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We are to take every thought captive to obedience, but we can't do that without having our minds renewed in the word of God. We should provide the heart with the presence of God. What does that mean? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you're delighting in the Lord, that means you want him. And guess what? He'll give you more of him. We should provide the heart with the promises of God. For everything that's going on in this world, we cannot have a human observation with a unbiblical interpretation. We must have a human observation with a biblical interpretation, which means that we have to look at everything, not only according to what God says, but we have to look at everything according to the promises that he's given us, because that becomes the anchor of our soul in a world of chaos, confusion, disorder, and every evil thing. Our hearts can be saturated with the reality that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Our hearts can be saturated with the reality that God is coming to get us. Our hearts can be saturated with the promises that God is going to transform our lives. Our hearts can be saturated with the idea that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our hearts can be saturated with the reality that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You and I have to begin to embrace these realities. And that means that our hearts have to be provided with these things. And fourthly, we should provide the heart with the pleasures from God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forever. So how do we summarize this all together? One should provide the heart with all that leads into a God-honoring life. Before we close out in prayer, I want to bring the person that I mentioned earlier who was in lockdown in a hospital and the disease was taking her over, but by the grace of God, as she was guarded from anything coming in and allowing things to be transformed by the medicine they were giving to her, she is now home and enjoying life with me. I want to introduce to you my wife, Dr. Vanessa Ellen. Can you come and say hello to everybody? Any words you have for them?
Hello. I can't hear y'all, but I guess you can hear us. Oh, they're panning around the room. Nice to meet you.
All right, guys, let's close out in a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you. You are with us. And you've given us the ability to guard our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that we would take this seriously and that by the power you've given us, we would begin to guard our hearts in a manner that would help us to get the evil out, to bring the purity in, and to meditate on that which is God-honoring and to operate in a manner that is holy. We love you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.